And you have been sponsored by MedVetChicago.com.
Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
Did you see the Westminster Kennel Club dog show? It is always so much fun to watch that, except this, the favored dog. I like the underdog, you know, so to speak. But the favored dog won the show. It was the Wire Fox Terrier. This was the 15th time a Wire Fox Terrier has won Best in Show at Westminster. I was kind of rooting for the long-haired dachshund, which ended up being in third place. Dog shows, I talk about those all the time, right? How about cat shows? We are going to, later in this program, talk with Carrie Plummer, who runs the Lincoln State Cat Show, which is happening very soon in St. Charles. On the telephone now is Dr. David Oppenheim. He's a pediatrician, but he's talking to us as a village trustee of Vernon Hills, Illinois. It's a suburb of Chicago. And they became, I don't know, it's like the 300th community or more that have said, we are going to ban retail sales of dogs and cats at pet stores. And we're going to find out why this is sweeping the country. In fact, two states, the entire states with more to come, are doing the same. So California, Maryland, I think New Jersey will probably be next because most of the towns, it seems, in New Jersey have done that. Banning the sales of dogs and cats at pet stores, it's something I'm all about. And Dr. Oppenheim, I know you feel the same way. And in fact, it passed, I'm told, unanimously. Why such support for this bill in a community that is a typical, wonderful suburban community, in this case, outside Chicago?
Well, I guess the question would be, why not support something like this? We're all in favor. I don't know anyone who's not in favor of protecting animals. The question is where they acquire these animals and making sure that the animals that they get are healthy and also bred in proper conditions. So it was an easy ordinance to pass for us.
And you're referring to the fact that no responsible breeder will ever sell to a pet store. So if they're not getting these dogs or cats from responsible breeders, and I am not talking about, and I don't believe you are either, the stores that adopt animals, rescue animals through shelters or through rescue organizations. We're not talking about that. We're talking about selling dogs and cats, often for a fair amount of money. They're often so-called designer breeds, but sometimes not. They're never from responsible breeders. And I remember you called me some time ago and you said, I happened upon your website and story after story that you've written about this. Did it come as a surprise to you? Because I think a lot of people don't know where these dogs and cats truly are from, although I believe that's changing.
Yeah, it very much was a surprise to me. This issue came before us as a village board a number of months ago when a retailer that was not currently in our community wanted to join our community, and they actually sent us information prior to that meeting trying to distinguish themselves as a store that was not acquiring animals from puppy mills. But I was somewhat skeptical after reading that information and then after hearing their presentation, and that's when I decided to Google that store, and then I happened upon your website and all the information that you had, and that led me down this path of not only making sure that we didn't allow that particular vendor to join our community, but also to be more proactive and make sure others like them weren't allowed, but also I think really to send a message to other communities that this is where we stand, and keep the ball moving forward.
Yeah, and I know after talking with me that I put you in touch with the Puppy Mill Project, which locally in the Chicago area, but nationally, all over the country has been supportive, in fact, behind such bills, because the Puppy Mill Project, their goal, their mission is to see ultimately the puppy mills shut down. I don't know if these bills are completely going to do that, but it will and does stop support of puppy mills, which how can that not be a good thing? Now, you mentioned other communities around you and maybe other communities around the country. So this has caught on like crazy. You have all these cities, big cities, small cities, everything in between, including Chicago, including Los Angeles. Of course, as I mentioned, the entire state of California has now banned selling dogs and cats at pet stores. States are beginning to do this. Counties have done this and will continue to do it. Are you surprised that it's catching on? And what might your place be in helping make that happen around you and even around the country?
No, I'm not surprised that that this is catching on. As in many things, once information like this gets out, it spreads like wildfire, and communities want to be responsible and do their part. I was completely unaware of the extent of the scourge of puppy mills and how many dogs and cats come out of these facilities and how many dogs and cats are euthanized each year. So, it's not surprising at all that that communities and local communities, counties, states are moving forward in this direction, because there's really not much good that comes out of them, and we just need to find ways to get the bad actors out. We still want responsible breeders to be able to do their good work, but we don't want these puppy mills to exist, and we don't want people importing dogs from puppy mills from afar, whether it's nearby states or even other countries. I've heard of stories of that happening as well.
Yeah, in fact, the UK did the same thing. They banned the sales, the entire country, of dogs and cats at pet stores because puppy mills are a problem there. So they just swept, you know, one fell swept. They said, no more. Because of the internet and so many sales online, it may not overnight make those terrible places disappear. That will take other action, but at least it doesn't support those awful places. And I thank you. I thank, I don't recall, I very briefly, when I went out there to testify in Vernon Hills, met your mayor. I don't recall his name. Please give him my regards.
Sure.
And Mayor, tell me his name.
That's Mayor Roger Byrne, Mayor of Vernon Hills, and I'll also mention Carrie Brown, who's one of my fellow trustees. Mm-hmm. Her husband, you may know, is Alex Brown, former Bears player.
Okay, yes.
And she's also very much interested and helpful in this process.
All right. Well, I thank the former Chicago Bear. I thank the trustees, all of them, because I believe this was a unanimous vote. I thank the mayor. And most of all, thank you for reaching out and finding out what the facts really are. I appreciate that. Dr. Oppenheim, thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Pets aren't like family. They are family. That's why the doctors and staff at MedVet Chicago are always, 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 always there when you need them. And more importantly, your pets need them the most. They're located at the corner of Belmont Western and Clybourne, you know, where they kind of come together. It's almost right there. And MedVet provides emergency care 24/7. But beside that, they provide specialty care as well. They have specialists, veterinary cardiologists, veterinary neurologists. The big thing now, cancer in pets, right? So they have several oncologists, and they have an entire cancer center right across the street. For further information about their expert care or emergency services, call them 773-281-7110. If you have any questions, you can call them too, like, my pet just swallowed, fill in the blank. Hate when pets swallow, fill in the blank. 773-281-7110. Or, of course, you could visit them in person online at MedVet for Pets. medvetforpets.com. Medvetforpets.com. It's that time of year. Time for the Lincoln State Cat Show. Carrie Plummer is the show manager. Carrie, I know the Lincoln State Cat Show has been going on maybe for about as long as the Lincoln State has been the Lincoln State.
Yes, this is actually our 58th annual show this year.
Yes, and it is held when and where?
Well, this year it's going to be held at the Kane County Fairgrounds in St. Charles, Illinois. It is being held on February 23rd and 24th.
Now, for those who have never been to a cat show, what goes on? This sounds like almost a straight line for a joke. What goes on at a cat show?
Well, at a cat show, we have approximately 225 entries. There are approximately 42 different breeds of cats. This year, we are having 11 different judges. People from around the world will enter their cats. They will drive in. They will fly in. And it's all about being best in show. Each and every breed has a standard, and the judge judges them. We also have approximately 40 different vendors with all types of goodies for people and for cats. And then we try to work with our local shelters in the area. We'll have a lot of local shelters there at the show. They will have rescue cats for adoption. So there's a broad spectrum of lots of different things that have to do with cats altogether.
And speaking of rescues, I know you're giving out a big award to a rescuer, which is wonderful.
Yes, we are actually having a superhero rescue award this year. And what we've done is we sent out information to various shelters around the area of St. Charles, and they were able to actually nominate someone who works in the shelter who goes the extra mile to care and take care of the rescue cats that are in the shelter and help them find new homes. And so we have several shelters that are involved with that. They've got several nominations. And we will be having an award presentation at the show, which you will be involved in.
Yeah, I'm honored to do that. Now, are we allowed to say on the radio who's going to win the award, or is it a big surprise?
It's going to be a surprise at the show. I myself, as a show manager, do not even know who the recipient is going to be for the winner. Everyone will be a winner, but there will be a main award, and that is handled by some of our club members.
What do they get for the award, catnip?
Well, that's funny. They'll probably get a little bit of catnip, too, but they're actually going to be awarded a monetary award that's going to go toward their shelter.
That's cool.
And, yeah, and a few other goodies for them.
And I know you also have educational talks going on. I'll be giving one on Sunday, I think just after I give out the award, so just after 12 noon. I'll be talking about a cat health update, some things the Wynn Feline Foundation has been up to, everything from stem cell studies to we may be, maybe, around the corner to finding a treatment for FIP, feline infectious peritonitis, which had always been considered to be fatal. I'll answer any pet behavior questions. I'll be talking about the Fear Free Initiative and why that is saving cat lives as well. And that's all at 12 noon. And it's very informal. I've done this lots of times. And you'll have an opportunity to come up and say, you know, my cat's missing the litter box. What's going on, Steve? And I'll say, well, why do you think that's happening? How many boxes do you have? And we'll have a give and take. It's really kind of a fun thing. But the coolest thing is walking up and down and seeing all these different cats, some breeds, people probably, I think, Carrie, had never even heard of before.
Yep. There are 42 different recognized breeds of cats in the Cat Fanciers Association. For an example, there's a cat called the Sphinx. And that's actually considered the hairless cat.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually got a slight fuzz on its body. It's very distinctive looking, very different. It has like a pear-shaped body with really big eyes and big, huge ears.
Mr. Bigglesworth, right?
You got it.
Yeah. That was in the Austin Powers movie. And there's other cats like the wild-looking, but not so wild, really, Aussie cat. So if you like that look of a... What might be a mini leopard in some ways, not exactly, but that kind of wild look, the Aussie cat is an example of that.
Yep, there will be Aussie cats there. They have a very distinctive, exotic look to them, a very kind of a wild pattern to their body coat and their markings. We'll also have the Bengals included, which is a new breed to CFA, and they are also a very exotic-looking cat. And then you can go to the All-American Traditional Persian, which is one of the most popular cats in the world.
Yeah, indeed it is. So let's go through the sort of 101 on the Lincoln State Cat Show. It again is when?
It is on February 23rd and 24th, Saturday and Sunday.
At?
At Kane County Fairgrounds in the Prairie State Building. And the show starts at 10 o'clock both days and runs till 4 p.m.
And to learn more about it, your website just happens to be?
It's the Lincoln State Cat Club. You can actually go to the website, and we actually have a coupon on there that you can print and clip the coupon for a dollar off admission. And also, we invite people, spectators, to come through the door. They bring a can of chicken cat food and donate it, because we'll have shelters there that we set up food to donate to, mm-hmm. You'll get an additional dollar off your admission.
Hey, that's way cool. So, again, that website is?
Lincoln State Cat Club.
.org. Okay. Thank you very much, Carrie.
Thank you, Steve.
So, I don't know why this question has been asked of me. I mean, how would I know? Why Donald Trump doesn't have a dog? But it turns out, not only doesn't he have a dog, most presidents have had dogs. Over the past 120 years or so, every president has had a dog. In fact, Trump would be only the second president ever in the history of America to live without a dog. And that tradition began with this guy by the name of George Washington, who had lots of dogs in the White House, in fact. President Obama, who at this event Trump was at, who took the opportunity to berate President Obama again, this time for having dogs in the White House, he wasn't alone. not hardly. In fact, you have to go back to William McKinley to find a president who didn't live with a dog. And McKinley did have other pets. He had Angora cats, a pet rooster, and a yellow-headed Mexican parrot who reportedly could whistle Yankee Doodle Dandy. As far as I could tell, John Quincy Adams was the only other president with zero pets of any kind. But what I really don't like is President Trump using the term dog as if it's a nasty term. Here's what I mean. A couple of years ago, he said that, "I hear that Sleepy Eyes, Chuck Todd, will be fired like a dog because of his ratings at Meet the Press." It turns out not only wasn't he fired, this was like 4 years ago that Trump said it, but I don't like the fact that it has nothing to do with Chuck Todd, whether I think he's good or not. I mean, who says that about dogs? Here's another one. And there's like, I can't read them all on the air. There are too many. He also said former chief of staff, a strategist, Stephen Bannon, was dumped like a dog. What does that mean? I don't know who talks like that. And it's not, I'm not being political. I don't mean to be. I would say that whether Trump was a Republican or Democrat, or if a man or a woman, Hispanic, African-American, or Asian said that, it's like, who says this about Amorosa as another example? When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just did not work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog. I mean, he even made fun of Pence, Vice President Pence, for having pets at one point and called him not a dog. Pence apparently does better, but he called him a yokel. Listen, if someone calls me and says, "Hey, Steve Dale, you're a dog," I'd say, well, that's a compliment for me. I'm in pretty good company.